Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. It is Monday here on the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network, and we've got a very interesting guest joining us in a short while. He's written a book called Screw Retirement. Now, I know most of the people, there may be some people who are listening to the show who are already thinking about that. Most of us don't think about it at all. And he says, this guest that we'll meet in a little while, he says you shouldn't be thinking about it the way that you always have or the way that people always have. I mean, there was a time when people said 50 was old and you had to stop working because now you were too frail. You were too frail to go to the workplace. I mean, now you got people into their 70s and 80s who are working.
Well, we can talk about that because I've just brought some results from a study.
Yeah.
Which has now shown what the new age cap is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like the maximum human age.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting. Just to follow up, though, on a couple of things that we discussed last week. On Friday's show, actually, Jeffrey's Bay came up a couple of times. Apparently, they've got the first ever road that is made out of plastic in J-Bay.
Mm.
Who ever thought that J-Bay would be the city that took us into the future? And we found out that J-Bay also has only one robot, and it's quite famous. It's like people go there. It's a tourist destination in Jeffrey's Bay. They'll like, oh, have you been to the robot this week? No, but I did see it was green the last time I was there. It was fascinating. So here's a picture because James, the producer's parents, live in J-Bay and they kindly took a picture of that one famous J-Bay robot for us. Look at that. Isn't that exciting?
It's quite an advanced one with turning signals and things as well.
It is, isn't it? How exciting. So there it is. The J-Bay, the famous Jeffrey's Bay robot. It's very important. And they also managed in the same trip, believe it or not, to get the other big tourist destination in J-Bay, which is the road that is made of plastic. Here it is. Look at that.
You wouldn't even know. Is that really the picture?
Huh? Made out of old plastic bags. Chekhas, basically. Old Chekhas. That's great. Isn't that great?
Jeez.
Aren't you proud of J-Bay? I think give them a round of applause. I'm very impressed. And thank you to James's parents for going on an expedition to bring us these pictures.
All in one day.
I know. I mean, you know, and we take these things for granted, but in J-Bay, those are their big tourist destinations. How exciting. And then I also saw somebody called Dan Corder was making noise over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Many South Africans were priced out of seeing the Springboks yesterday because of exorbitant ticket prices. So he obviously posted this yesterday.
Mm.
We need accessible ticketing so that fans can watch their heroes. The Springboks can't just be for the wealthy. So let me just tell you, again, communism comes in many shapes and forms. And sometimes communism wears three beanies. So why don't you share a beanie instead of hogging all three for yourself, Dan Corder? And then we can talk about exorbitant ticket prices. You know, the problem with communists is they just don't understand basic economics. It's like, I would love to eat at famous five-star restaurants every night.
Every night, yeah.
But you know what? I can't afford to. So it's not up to the government or up to communism to suddenly get me free five-star meals at famous Michelin star restaurants. No, it's just like, I would really like to play football for a living and earn millions of dollars, but it's not going to happen, is it? First of all, I'm not a talented footballer. And second of all, I'm too old.
Mm.
So I don't think that that's likely for me. And it doesn't matter how much accessibility you add to football, I'm never going to be Lionel Messi.
Mm.
Communists will just, they'll never understand this, hey? Must be so hard to be a communist because constantly through your day, you're just hit in the head by reality. It's like, oh, but I'll still believe. I'll keep believing in communism. It's unbelievable. Listen, I would have loved to have been at this. No, actually, I wouldn't have.
No, and I take that back immediately.
I wouldn't have liked to have been at the Springbok game, no matter how accessible you made it for me. I could probably have afforded those tickets, but I don't want to go. And you know what? So many other South Africans don't either. Let the people who are prepared to pay the money go to the show.
Oh, or those who can maybe save up towards it.
Absolutely. And you know who will appreciate it the most?
Those who saved.
Not the ones who get it for free.
Mm.
Again, communism. They'll just never understand this. Never. Like, just give up on communism and everything in your life will get better, dude. Seriously. And the three beanies. Just stick to one. Have you seen? I mean, you know this guy who he is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. For some reason, his stuff comes up on my timeline. And I'm like, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Anyway, it's maddening. So you know what else is pretty maddening? is this idea of landing planes in Kaibecha or whatever. However you pronounce that, that's another thing we shouldn't be bothering with. PE, basically.
Yes.
I don't know why planes go there. They shouldn't be allowed to be on the map, the route map of places that South Africans can travel to. If you want to go to PE, you have to go by bus. It'll cut down dramatically on the number of people who go to PE, which is good for everybody. But apparently there was an aircraft that had a daring emergency landing in PE. What actually happened? Have we got a picture of that?
Yeah, I think we do.
Holy hell. Okay.
It doesn't, from this picture.
First of all, is that a prison in the background or is that how houses look in PE?
Not sure.
It's a prison.
Might be.
All right. So this is and that is a plane without wheels. How nice.
So this plane had the pilot, a passenger, and an instructor. And they performed this, miraculous emergency landing after running into some trouble in the sky and managed to land on a road, as we see. Did that perfectly fine.
Uh-huh.
You know what took it out?
What?
A pothole.
Oh, you're joking. Shame. So the guy managed to... All right, I take it all back. I mean, this dude obviously did an incredible thing. And nobody died.
Nobody died.
But what got them in the end was a pothole.
A pothole hit those wheels. That's why they aren't there.
Oh, man.
And caused it to veer into a pole where you can see the wing damage especially. But I just thought that was completely bizarre how all of that energy and hard work and good work by and expertise by the instructor.
Yes,
got
amazing.
Them to land on a normal road.
Phenomenal.
To be taken out by a pothole.
And look at all those children in the front of the photograph. There's so little entertainment in Port Elizabeth that for those children, this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to them.
I'm jealous of them. I would have loved to have seen this.
Well, apparently, we spoke about this the other day. There was a meteorite strike in the Eastern Cape, remember? And we've been asking for more information.
Yeah, we even had those two guys in...
That's right. Universe on stage.
He said it was possible that that's what it was, but we didn't know yet. It only happened.
Correct. So have you got more info for us?
Yes, turns out...
Good. Our sleuth, Leanne Moll, has been on the trail of this comet.
Turns out it was a meteorite strike.
Oh.
We've got pictures of the actual little... what looks like a pebble.
No.
I promise you.
How disappointing. Look at that little thing. That's it? That's all it is?
This is, you know who it was found by? Elisée du Toit.
What?
A four-year-old girl. Sorry, nine-year-old girl. She was sitting on her grandparents' stoop in the small town when this is all in the Eastern Cape, so we're sticking to the province.
Yes, we've given them a lot of attention this morning.
A lot. And she heard a rustling in the nearby fig tree. As she watched, a rock fell out of the tree. When she picked it up, I hope that she waited for it to cool down, she noticed it had a black crust and a gray interior like concrete. And yes, that happened on the same, at the same sighting of those videos that were taken. Was it in St. Francis or?
Jay Bay again.
Cape St. Francis, one of the two.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Anyway, so
Jay Bay, Cape St. Francis, and Francis Bay, it's all like a stone's throw or a meteor shower away from each other.
Stone's throw. This was just one fragment, obviously a tiny fragment, weighing in at about 90 grams, and was unveiled at a press conference involving scientists from Nelson Mandela University, Rhodes, and WITS.
Okay, I'm glad you threw WITS in there, otherwise I wouldn't have believed it, because the others are universities in the Eastern Cape, which don't count.
So apparently there are two different types of meteorites.
Look at that, though. That's cool.
You would just...
I hope she gets to keep it.
Apparently those are all over. We just mistake them as rocks.
She doesn't get to keep it, this little girl?
Probably not.
Oh, she did all the work.
Probably not. So two different types of meteorites. The most common are chondrites. They make up about 86% of meteorites that have been found. They are the oldest solid objects in the solar system.
Nice.
Formed about 4.57 billion years ago.
That's fantastic. I wouldn't mind having that.
Yeah.
So I said in the beginning, a little disappointing. I don't think so, actually. That would be a very cool thing to have. So well done. And very, very sharp of this little girl to have heard
Elisée
the sound and then gone to look for the thing and it drops out of a tree. Because what's a rock doing in a tree?
Exactly.
Right?
So suspicious.
Very suspicious. Exactly. And then this is my favorite story out of the weekend. Apparently, you know these illegal Zama Zama miners, right? They work underground and they try to find the remnants of what proper miners have left behind. And sometimes they manage to scrape together a couple of grams of gold or whatever. So apparently in the Northwest, there are these illegal miners. And people are really confused about, like, how do they get into these mine tunnels? Because they couldn't find an opening anywhere. How are they getting underground? They knew they were there, but they didn't know how they were getting in and out. Turns out that there was a dude whose bedroom was the entrance. And he was letting the illegal miners in and then moving his bed back over the hole. Really?
It's crazy. It's actually crazy. So it's, yeah, Rustenburg near the Kusileka mine in Nkandla, not the Nkandla we were thinking of.
Right.
But the informal settlement is known as Nkandla. And there's actually a photograph of where this hole is. That is not it, James. That is for the peanut butter story.
Good heavens. I was going to say, if that was someone's bedroom, we've got a lot of very freaky stuff going on.
Yeah, that was the toilet with the peanut butter coming out.
Show us the mine shaft in the bedroom.
So normal looking little house, open up the door, normal front entrance, everything looks great, kitchen, lounge. Bless you, go into one of the bedrooms and something doesn't look quite right. And there is this big mine shaft in the middle of the bed, in the middle of the bedroom. I actually saw a video of it as well. They come up for lunch as well.
Oh, so the miners come to his house for lunch?
Yes.
But they're paying him, right?
So they come in the front. Yes, they're paying him.
Okay.
So he's been arrested and that's why. They come in the front door. They go down the mine shaft. They work all day stealing copper wires. This is what they're stealing.
Oh, okay. That's no good.
Okay. Then they come up for lunch, sit on a scuffed in, on like a bucket with their scuffed in, have lunch, and then they go back down. In fact, when the reporter was standing there, she said, "We're actually expecting more miners up soon."
Oh.
So it's like an active scene, mine scene.
Where's that picture of the bedroom, James? Oh, my God. We're waiting with bated breath. So you think you have a bedroom where all the action happens, huh?
No.
Look at that. That's where they go in and out. And what, they just covered it with that piece of wood, that pallet?
Yes.
Or whatever it is next to it.
Oh,
cool.
And just,
what a filthy room, by the way.
There's a little window.
That guy should clean up his room.
Little window. And through that window, they pass the copper cables.
Oh, yeah?
Into a truck. And this goes on and on and on. And apparently not even the neighbors picked up that anything was wrong.
Well, if you had power outages in your area, these are the guys that you could blame, right?
Also, I want to know how much I would charge if I found a place like that in my house.
Look at all the other stuff in this picture. I mean, I always find this interesting. You know, like when, for example, they have those TV shows where people invite other people to their house and they make food for them.
Come dine with me.
I love those shows because you see how hideous some people's houses are, right?
Awful.
And this is a terrible house, by the way. I mean, look, there's one white shoe. Where's the other one like that? There isn't
those
one.
Those are the miners.
It's all on its own. But look, it's a one shoe. So is it a person with one leg? All the other oaks have left their casual shoes.
Well, there's one blue shoe there. Maybe that's the other one. Maybe he does
maybe
a two-tone.
Wears different shoes.
Yeah.
Very strange. This is where they go in and out. I would get claustrophobic. Doesn't it look small?
I mean, there's no way you couldn't pay me enough to go down there, but you might be able to pay me enough to host it in my bedroom.
All right. And then now you've brought up the future or rather you brought up the peanut butter thing.
Yes.
You said, we've got to talk about this. They put up the wrong picture of the peanut butter factory, but that also looks disgusting. Show us that again.
There's another little disgusting thing.
Oh.
Right. So
not a very hygienic place. Is that where they make peanut? All the peanut butter I've ever eaten comes from this place.
No, not all the peanut butter. But there are certain brands that appear to be completely above board.
Okay.
Have you not heard about a few months ago, some peanut butters were recalled and they're in glass jars, proper lids. Some of them are in those plastic scuffed in with a red lid, a round red lid. that they sell at like spaza shops or on the street corner. So some of them, yeah,
I like might peanut be butter though. You're not going to put me off peanut butter, are you?
No, it's just this particular factory in Tshwane.
Oh, that could be. It could be the one that supplies me.
Exactly. So Councillor Leon Krejcar.
Who?
Krejcar.
Oh. He doesn't sound real either.
He was alerted to this factory and went and looked at it by himself and for himself. And he said that the peanuts were being scooped off of the ground by hand and then into the jars to be crushed.
Yes.
And then they were coming out of that poop chute into an apparently absolutely filthy conditions.
Yeah.
And of course, this has all been brought to light because of little kids who are going to school and buying stuff on the corner of the road or whatever.
Oh boy.
And getting food poisoning and sometimes dying. So that just shows you that,
you don't need a lot to have a peanut butter factory, hey?
No, literally like peanuts. You need peanuts.
That's it. Just peanuts just and that peanuts. Machine, that dirty, filthy machine there. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not put off. I will continue to add. Look at that. Vongani says, dirt adds flavor. I agree. You know what? If I have eaten this peanut butter before, I'm still here. I think these kids are a bunch of pussies. I mean, frankly, what's wrong? It doesn't look so bad. James, Flex, would you eat peanut butter from there? No. I would. Flex, you wouldn't. No, I like peanut butter. They don't like peanut butter. What about people who have a nut allergy? Imagine that.
Well, they'd all be dead.
They'd be dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think we've learned a lot this morning. Let's take a big, deep breath and let's welcome our guest for the morning. I'm going to tell you who he is. And we're going to talk about something I think is fascinating. His name is Dr. Johan Coetzee. So he's an author, he's a consultant, he's a coach, and he has written an interesting book, which I think we're going to be talking about this morning, called Screw Retirement. Yes, Leanne, even for you. Screw Retirement. So we're going to talk about that and a bunch of other things. He has been involved in all kinds of industries at a strategic and operational level. He has a PhD in leadership in performance and change. So we were talking about change with Dr. Hanan just now. So this all fits together.
Big puzzle.
So I want to talk about retirement, and we've got Dr. Johan here. It's nice to see you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Very good. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. I just don't like the peanut story this morning.
Why?
I'm crazy about peanut butter.
Yeah, me too. I don't think you look like a tough sort of guy. You don't think
to check out provider now.
Are you from Pretoria?
I am.
Oh, me too. So you and I probably, this is probably our local supplier. Anyway, but don't worry about that. So Dr. Johan, I'm really interested in the idea. And the reason that I think it caught my eye when we were talking about bringing you in as a guest is because so many people in South Africa still think the old way, that like at 60 or 65, then you're too frail. You have to be put out to pasture. You have to be given a golden watch by the company you've worked at your whole adult life. There are still people who think like this, even though everything around them has changed. We've got the gig economy. We've got people holding down two or three jobs at the same time. We've got people who've gone into starting their own businesses in their 50s and 60s. We've got all kinds of examples of why retirement is almost a stupid term and needs to be retired itself. How do you feel about all of this?
Well, I'm 61 now.
Right.
So so I'm supposed to be retired, and there's absolutely no way that you can retire today. What are you going to do? I mean, I'm still fit and I can still do a lot of things. So, I mean, I'm going to sit back at home and have a whiskey early in the morning. And how long can we go on with that? So, no, you can't do that.
And of course, there's the other argument too, which is that you're probably at your most useful in terms of experience, wisdom, application. By the time that you're your age, you can add enormous value to a company. But most companies, what is the official retirement age? 60 or 65?
60, 65. Depends on your retirement scheme.
So then that's when they get rid of those people.
You must understand the history of retirement. It started off in Otto von Bismarck's time many, many moons ago. And the history was basically what it is now. They needed to make space for younger and cheaper labor.
Right.
And if you look in my environment where I'm a consultant and I'm working in a change management environment, I'm competing with young guys that's prepared to work for 2/3 of my rate, but they don't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you compete with that. And but that's what happens. So you get pushed out at the top. They make space for the younger ones at the bottom. And the question is, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to now being pushed out and then go and die somewhere? Or am I going to create a new world for myself?
So what are the laws in this country when it comes to retirement? Do you have to, if you're a company, do you have to lay people off when they're in their 60s? Have to get rid of them? You can't keep employing them?
According to me, there's no law. But there are company policies that dictates this. It says about at 60 or 65, you need to go. And that is basically to structure the way that the business is working with its HR.
Okay.
So I don't think there's necessarily malice in this policy. They just need to structure the way that they work with their people. Unfortunately, as you say, 60, 65, most people are very, very valuable at that stage. But what do you do with them? And then the other thing is also a lot of people, 60, 65, are old and tired and sick. And now if you still keep them on, they are now being a hazard to the performance of the company.
Please, I met some Gen Z 20-somethings who are like old and tired and sick and don't want to work. What are absolutely, you talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a company in America that actually says they are not hiring any Gen Zs anymore. And they really? Say only baby boomers may apply. They know how to work.
I mean, that's a big problem, right? The fact that so few people in the workforce actually want to work or know how to work, because that kind of work ethic seems to have been left by the wayside along the way as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. If you look into the psychology, my world of thinking about it is when I grew up, things were different and difficult.
Hmm.
And I tried to make things easier for my children. And making things easier for my children does not prepare them properly for the hazards. And then they try and do the same. So you create this cycle of making it easier and easier and easier up to a point where nothing is working. Everything falls over. And then you start again. There's this old thing about good men make good times make bad men make poor, bad times, and then bad times make good men. So that's
right.
That cycle just repeats itself all the time. You can look at history. It just
well, here's Leanne. She's 62. I mean, she.
Hi, Leanne. I'm almost there.
She's thinking of retiring. What would you say to people, and I know part of why we're discussing screw retirement, right, is that you've got to have different ways of dealing with this. Some people are not prepared to stop working. They want to keep doing things. In fact, there's a good argument that if you don't have something to do, that death comes a lot sooner.
That's the whole thing, is losing your purpose. And that's the thing. One of the reasons why they'll recommend something as, you know, seemingly small as somebody having a pet. So that they have a reason to get up and, you know, feed the animal.
Exactly.
But that responsibility just shows you, responsibility and just being needed to do something.
Yeah, I think one must distinguish. In terms of finances, is an interesting thing in this regard. There are people that can afford to retire. 1.02% at this stage, depending on who makes the calculations, can retire and do not have to work at all anymore. Then there's about 6 to 8% that can retire, but they will have to scale down or maybe get some additional support and that goes with it. The rest of us needs to work, generate some kind of income. But the thing that happens is if you need to generate income, it is less about purpose and more about doing. So you need to get something to do that can generate income. Ooh. So purpose is then just to survive, maybe.
Yeah.
But the other people who maybe can possibly afford to retire, purpose is the main thing. That is where men that's been CEOs or ladies that have been run huge companies, et cetera, get to a point where they sit in the lounge and die.
Because there's nothing
to do. And that purpose is the main thing for me. And even if you get something like a pit, if you get people that knit blankets,
you go and do gardening or whatever, you know.
The thing about gardening is how long can you garden for yourself? How long can you play golf and just do that for yourself? At the point, I believe people are designed to do something of value for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
That's purpose.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
And that is where we need to focus and say, okay, now once you've retired, if you don't have to work for money, then do it for free. But do something for somebody else. When you've got people that's depressed, one of the things that you get them to do is to add value to somebody else. Even while you're depressed, even while you're down, how do you lift somebody up? Go and do something good.
Yeah.
So that the purpose thing is maybe the most significant part of retirement.
Or like in the case of my dad, my mom said if he stops working, she'll kill him.
Absolutely.
Because he'd be around the house the whole time and she'd be going crazy because this old man's around the whole time.
Is he
time.
Really yeah. still working?
No, he's still working. Wow. I don't think it's a good idea to stop unless it's health that prevents you, which obviously is it's a good reason for you to stop doing things. Or if you really have just had enough and maybe you're tired, you know, that could be a part of it. Some people have worked very, very hard. I saw a comment on the comment line now from somebody who said their husband had been working for Transnet for 45 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was Pat. She said, here we go. After 45 years, at 63, they retired him. He's 72 now, and we're doing well financially. Keeps busy every day. We're totally debt-free. Loving retirement. Look after your money. Well, that's excellent, Pat. And I'm very happy for you and your husband. I think a lot of people don't plan satisfactorily for retirement. And even if it's not for retirement, it's like for your old age. There are going to be medical bills. You might have to move house. You might want to go on holiday. All kinds of things that you want to do. If you don't have money, it limits the number of things you can do.
Absolutely.
Right? So do you think South Africans plan adequately for that part of their life?
Well, the big companies tells you that they're not.
Yeah.
But if you're fair and you look at the cost of life currently, it is extremely difficult to do that. If I recall correctly, if you earn more than 20 or maybe 30,000, you're in the top 20% earners in this country,
which is not even that much money.
What can you do with 20,000? How do you take away 10 to 15%, which is the prescribed sort of or the advised amount from young 20 plus to save if you earn 20,000?
That's impossible.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
Yeah,
and that is the major thing that we need to take into consideration. We can easily say yes, you're not making it. You're not saving enough. But think about it. I mean, I've got children that's in the late 20s and 30s. It is extremely difficult for them to make a proper living in terms of the housing, in terms of having a decent car, not even fancy stuff, and then still studying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to save enough.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at my own situation with my parents, the expenses just become phenomenal. Exactly. Now you've got carers 24/7. You've got somebody who needs to drive them, or you're getting Uber assist if you aren't able to go. This weekend I bought two trolleyfuls of nappies for every shape and size. You know, the medical bills.
Well, that was just for you.
And that was just for me. Then behind me was my trailer for my parents. Mine are called Lady Pants by Tenu, by the way. Those are my favorite. They come in cream.
Oh, that's such a sexy conversation. Yeah. Please tell us more. I'm so excited right now.
But yeah, medication, doctor's visits, and the onus as well, the reliance now on family to do all these things for them. It's a huge thing. People forget that they have to deal with their parents' Absolutely. Own retirement and what it costs.
But yes, something that I've been digging into for the past couple of months. If you look at the development of society over the last, let's say, 100 years, there's a huge drive, especially in the Western society, to be independent.
Right.
The moment you're done 18, matric, there you go, have fun, enjoy yourself, build your own life, et cetera, et cetera. The challenge that you have the moment you start focusing on independence, it means that every generation starts from zero.
Right. Yeah.
So you should not be dependent. The trick is to get interdependent and work from there till the day that you die. Well, so you must now know that parents are coming your way. You must know. So why do everyone wants their own house? It builds something properly and organize it in some way, or quick early in your life buy something within flat or something like that, so that there's interdependence.
But this is it, right? You talk about Western civilization, and we can criticize it because it's been the most successful form of civilization, and it's brought more people to peace and prosperity than anything in history. But you're absolutely right. There's a flaw in the plan, because in most societies, the family sticks together. And you have houses that are intergenerational.
Sure.
So you've got the grandparents there, and they can help out with the kids while the parents are out earning money or whatever it is. And you have this kind of this built-in family that does things for you that otherwise you would have to hire people to do, and which most people couldn't afford to do anyway. And you do end up with these families that break up into pieces. We know in this country, for example, there are loads of old people in South Africa whose children are all overseas.
Exactly.
And they have no chance of seeing them ever again. They probably don't know their grandchildren that well. That's a very, very sad way to go into retirement.
The bad part is when parents go after their kids to Australia or New Zealand or wherever, and then the kids come back.
Oh, my God.
And then they're stuck there. So you don't do that.
Yeah, and let's also think about it this way. You know, it never used to be the case that people had a retirement plan. You didn't. The family kind of looked after you. More kids you had, the more chance you had that you'd have a happy old age.
Somewhere.
Because at least one of your kids, and probably all of them, would have to contribute to keeping you going.
You can visit them every 3 months. You can alter.
Right, exactly. And to a large degree, this is also how many societies still function. It's like you have lots of kids. Those kids have the responsibility of looking after you when you're old.
But prosperity brings a lower birth rate. So the more money you earn, the less you know how much it costs, and therefore your children becomes less and less. And that returns to you in terms of the situation where there's nobody to look after you.
Yeah.
The thing about being grandparents, the purpose, let's talk about purpose for a moment. When I worked, when my children needed me the most in terms of time and energy, I was working the hardest in my life. I did not have any of those. Mm. And that's where grandparents can fit into, because now I can sit with my grandchild. I'm more relaxed. I've got less things that chases me. I can sit with her. I can have a chat with her. I can add value to her, which my son and his wife can't do because they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that we're missing in terms of retirement, is we don't have to be that super duper human being that still creates everything. What is the difference that we make in terms of other people? You're at church,
yeah,
at the schools, in your own home, in your environment. What is it that you do that makes a difference? And that is,
so
I think, the thing that the Screw Retirement comes up with. It starts off with money. Yes, you need to have money. But even if you do have money, what difference do you make?
Yeah, I think that's massively important. And you also talk about other people. And I think maybe society is also held together in part by older people who have the time
and wisdom,
who have the passion and the wisdom to make other parts of society function properly. Yeah. You talk about churches, or you talk about clubs, or places where people get together, where people talk, where people socialize. A lot of that's held together by people who have the time in retirement, right?
And they've been excluded.
Yeah. Well, now, these days, these days we throw our old people into a home and forget about them.
Yeah,
that's the worst possible outcome for everybody.
But I think what one also needs to consider is the psychological challenge that we have when we get into the age of retirement. I've done a lot of contract work, and the last company that I did contracting work with for an extended period of time stopped my contract at 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize that I've been doing my business for ages, but that was my sort of my anchor income. And the moment I walked out of that day, I realized, okay, boy, you're now retired. And I thought to myself, okay, what's that going to happen now? And what happens with people that retires is the moment you leave your job, that on 60, 65, and I really don't understand why they give people a golden watch the day they retire. Why? I mean, you should give it to them the day they start.
So they can be on time.
On time, yeah. So you walk out there and you think, that was great, et cetera, et cetera. I'm having time now to do a lot of things. But a host of people lose their identity immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They lose 95% at least of the people they know.
Yeah, that's
nobody
also true.
At work will ever call you again. And so, that's where the problem starts. They're alone. They've got no purpose. Their identity is gone. And now they're invading mom's kitchen. And that's mm-hmm. where the trouble starts.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a good point, too, that they leave the office and those people never call them again.
Yeah.
You know, you only realize that you think the work and you have these places where people work and they go, it feels like a family.
Nah.
That's nonsense. That's the minute you stop working there and you stop having to communicate with that person, you probably will.
No, they've got a new boss to deal with.
Exactly. And they're busy.
Yeah.
They're busy. They only need you to identify where you stored some files or how did you do this. And that'll keep up for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then you're done.
Well, David says, South African old people need to be more like the Vikings or the Japanese. When they're no longer useful, they must just go for a long walk in the forest and not come back.
If that's what happens.
Well, that's true. That's true. They go and sit outside. The question is, will he do it?
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So what should we do?
So I believe that everyone do have a responsibility. We are responsible for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You need to consider and really consider that you are going to retire.
Yeah.
So when you're in your 20s and 30s, 20s, retirement is not an issue. 30 and 40s, your parents are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's your first sort of, so that's something that's going to happen. So most people only start planning for their retirement at 50, which is actually too late in terms of finances anyway. But I believe two things. One, it's companies got a corporate responsibility to start guiding the people in terms of they're going to retire. Take them through a workshop. Give them a book to read to sort of get them on the road. The other thing is you need to start actively planning, excluding finances, your retirement. What is it that you're going to do the moment you close that door behind you? There's a one-year sort of period where you honeymoon period, where everything's good. I mean,
yeah.
You sleep late and you do what you want and you travel and you do. But how many games of golf are you going to play?
Yeah, exactly.
How long will you travel? Yeah. And there are people that can continue. So there's a life cycle that you need to follow and you need to plan for it. And the most two things that you need to understand, you need to have something that to do that's of value. And there's a whole chapter in the book on how to get your purpose, to define your purpose. And then you must understand that there's a host of psychological challenges that you will go through. All those things, the limiting beliefs that you had when you were young, and you work through them. The moment you stop, there's no identity. There's nothing. All of them's back. You can't do. You're too old. You do not have enough money, etc., etc. You're starting with all the stuff again.
Oh my God! And that must be again. That must be very challenging.
And it takes energy, which you might not have at that stage.
So, all right, let's just talk for a moment about the finances, because I do think that that's a major part of what most people fear about retirement.
Sure.
And in South Africa now, the government is talking about this two-pot system. I don't know anything about this. We've tried to figure out, this is what I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Apparently what they want to do is they want to make it possible for people to access half of their retirement stuff early. So you might have, you know, expenses right now that you need money for and you've been saving, but you can only access that money at 65 or whatever. And they're going to allow you to access a portion of it earlier.
Sure.
How does it work?
So the two-pot system, I'm not a financial advisor.
No, sure.
So please don't quote me, just go and check it. Mm-mm. But the two-pot system in essence is that your savings for retirement will be in two pots, and it's a third and two-third pot.
Oh, okay.
So the third, one-third relates to the money that you can access for challenges that you do have, financial challenges that you have, and the other two-thirds relates to the retirement fund that will be paid out to you in terms of an annuity over a period of time. So you can only access a third. The challenge that you have is that that money will be taxed.
Of course. This is why government's even thinking about it.
Exactly. So they're talking about 40 billion going into the economy.
Another stream.
Government's going to make money.
They just want to get their filthy little hands on your money that you've been saving. So don't fall for it, basically.
So there's the one challenge is that you can take some of that money. But I'm working with two financial advisors. In this regard, we talk to people. They talk finances. I talk psychology part.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Don't take your money. Why? Because whatever you take now, you will lack down the line.
Later, yeah.
So make another plan. Yeah. It's not easy money. It's expensive money.
Yeah.
And you lose the value when you will need it the most. The more you take out now, you do not have the ability to recover on that.
And I think you will not be able to put it back. Very sharp advice. Okay, so we're not giving financial advice, but there's some useful info anyway. Carl says, do not do this. It's already in effect. Right now you can draw from your retirement, but you pay a massive tax. It's so, so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think for a lot of people it's just financial, and this is why I'm glad that we're talking about the psychological aspect to this today. I know somebody who decided they were going to retire. They went and lived at the coast with their wife. And this guy is now, he's bored. So they've made an arrangement. He's going to go back to the farm where he used to live and work. And he's still got a son there and his son-in-law. And he's going to help them out. He's understood farming for many, many years. He's going to go make a big difference there, I think. He's got all his friends around in that area. This is where he belongs.
When he's happy.
And he'll be much happier. And she can stay at the coast and they can check in on each other every now and then. Works for everyone. I mean, I think that that's a very solid system. It's unorthodox, but that's what you want.
Well, if it works for them, it's fine. It
takes a level of maturity to kind of get to that decision as well, right?
The interesting you talk about farming, I've been in Namibia a couple of weeks ago, and I presented the Screw Retirement Workshop in Ketmanshoop, which is in the south. And there was a farmer and his wife that now needs to retire and to start giving over to their son.
Right.
And the challenges that they have in getting to leave the reins, to start handing it over, to make it, to walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if you build a business for 20, 30 or 40 years or 50 years maybe, and now you need to give it over to your son or your daughter or to, and walk away. And what is it? What is it that you're leaving behind? It's you.
Is there an age? Because Leanne has got this thing she wants to share with us about like the maximum age that a human can live to. Is there an age where you think it should absolutely be mandatory for people to retire? Or do you think that that's absolutely down to the individual?
Individual. If you're healthy, you can still add value and you can make a difference. Why would you like to retire? That's the thing. I think the bottom line is health.
Right.
If you can work up to a certain age. I know I've made a presentation at the church 2 weeks ago, and an elderly gentleman came to me. He's 88.
Yeah?
88. He walked up to me and said, listen, I worked the last year. I stop now. He's 88. Fit as a fiddle. Why not?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, if you can, we all know there are good 80s and there are good 90s and there are very bad ones.
Exactly.
What is the maximum age that a human can live to? This is interesting. And who put this together?
New study uncovered by Dutch researchers.
Mm-hmm.
They have revealed the elusive ceiling of human lifespan.
Yeah.
Obviously, modern life expectancy is, growing higher and higher due to nutrition, advances in science, medical care. And now there's this renewed interest in, well, how old can we actually get? So this new study used a comprehensive data set that tracked the exact age at death for approximately 75,000 Dutch individuals. So remember that that's going to be a bit different to other countries in the world. And they have posited a maximum age limit for women. It's an astonishing, take a guess.
110?
115.7 years.
About right. Now, that's a lot longer than most people would think. You mentioned that 88-year-old man.
Yeah.
It's another 20 years for him.
It's another life.
But I think there must be context to this.
Yeah.
Those are Dutch. Mm-hmm. They've got well kept. They are there's money, etc., etc. In South Africa, and I'm not sure about the number. I heard it about a week ago. The gentleman said that about 16% of population grows older than 65.
Really? 16. Is that all?
Jeez.
So it's if you look at the normal distribution, so different. It's this part on the
wow.
Right.
So if you are over 65 in South Africa, you're in a tiny minority.
Exactly. And the the other the scary one is a gentleman from a pension fund told me 4 years, 7 months on average after 60, the retirement, men die.
Wow. So if you're a man and you retire at 60 and you don't do anything else,
exactly,
the chances are 4.5 years and you're done.
So yeah. So there's wow. all these stats with regard to the next age is 150 and all those things. Currently 82 and 88, I think, for men and women. That's the top line. But then it depends on where do you live, what do you eat, how's your healthcare look, and all those things. Mm. If you live in the Bundus and there's nothing for you and you don't have healthy food, what's your chance?
And is there a discrepancy between women and men in retirement? Because now,
in terms
of course,
age, or?
Well, I mean, it used to be the fact that the men were the breadwinners and that they were the ones who worked and that there was a mandatory retirement age. Obviously, more women have entered the workforce in the last 100 years. Things have changed considerably. Very often, companies are led by women. Women are often entrepreneurs.
Sure.
Is there any discrepancy there between men and women in retirement?
So, in terms of retirement, I think 60 or 65 is a policy decision.
Right.
My view. Is that women do better after retirement. Why? Because they've been...
Because their husbands die and leave them alone.
We could talk about that one. They continue doing what they've been doing all the time, taking care of the house, having all those chores, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So they continue with life.
Right.
Men up there, down there, next moment, and now they need to fit in somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge. So there's the old story that goes, why does men die before their wives? Because they want to. They're tired. So discrepancies is difficult.
I'm just looking at some of these comments here. MM says, when the French were protesting against the rise of the retirement age to 64, they were told the Dutch retirement age at 71.5 years. A French protester said, the Dutch are stronger than us. But the French keep trying to bring the retirement age down. The French are the laziest people on planet Earth. No, they are. You know, I'm not going to make apologies, but it seems like they want more holidays. They want the retirement age brought down. They want the state to pay for everything.
That's the thing.
What's the country with the lowest retirement age that you know about? And what is the earliest you've ever heard of someone retiring? I saw someone in the comments just now. It says he's in his 50s and he's retired. He surfs all day. I mean, that sounds cool. Here, Kevin, he says, I retired and surfed most days 15 years ago. Now I will work much harder deep into my golden years. Love what you do. That's the key. He's 58 and he said work starts now. I mean, that's cool, right? So he's not retired, but he did retire at an early age.
So if you look at the formal retirement from a company, I think you can formally start, consider retiring or apply for retirement age 55.
Really?
Then you can sort of get into this process of getting rid of people quickly or earlier. That normally is when the organizational structure at the top becomes top heavy. You need to get rid of people.
Yeah.
In the private sector, you can retire when you've got enough money.
Anytime.
So that's the point. So if you make enough money by 35, why not?
Sure.
But what are you going to do?
I know. I mean, it just seems like,
I think that's a baby boomer type of thinking, in my view. What are you going to do?
I know that there are probably people who would like to sit around all day and scroll through social media. And I just can't imagine that after a few weeks, that won't be extremely boring.
Well, I mean, you can look at how we behaved during COVID. And a lot of people did just stay at home and scroll through things. And then everyone became depressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can actually foresee it. We had a little taste of what retirement would be like.
If you've got nothing else to do, and you need to sit at home. That's killing people. And there's the suicide rates went up significantly during and after COVID. The thing about and the thing about that is that you're forced to stay. You cannot. There's no human interaction. Our need, the Maslow's hierarchy, hierarchy to be part of a community, has been taken away.
Right.
So what's happening? You just go down, and a lot of people don't have the ability to pick up again.
I'm also curious, because you're a psychologist. You obviously deal with a lot of the numbers around suicide, depression, all of this kind of thing. Do you think that even in work, a lot of people don't necessarily have purpose? They go in and they're a number. They just sit at a computer screen all day. Maybe they get to make one or two minor decisions if they're lucky, but mostly they're kind of just machines and automatons. That kind of thing makes you depressed as well. No wonder that those people would want to retire.
Yeah.
You have to have more than just a job.
It's a meaningful job.
Yes.
But
there's a huge difference there.
Yeah. The mistake that people make is that they think, if I am the person sitting behind the counter answering the phones, or I'm just a cook or a cleaner, is that they're not meaningful. Well, think about it. There was a study in America at the university a number of years ago where they went to a university and to determine, because of a lot of reasons, who is the most important person on that campus. So they interviewed everybody from the dean right through down. And the bottom line is, to make it short, is the person in the cafeteria washing the dishes is the most important one. Because if that person does not do his job properly, meaning everybody will get sick, there's death, and the whole place will stop.
Yeah.
So who's really the most important? Where do you get your meaning from? Checking in with somebody else. What's the word Afrikaans? It's vergelijk, compare. If you compare yourself to somebody else, and they've got the car, they've got the house, or am I looking for meaning in my life?
Well, we know that if you compare yourself to other people, you're going to be unhappy.
Absolutely.
Right? That's a sure way to get yourself into a state.
And that is significant when you go on retirement, because now I don't have enough money to travel all the time, but you do. So now I'm getting jealous and I'm getting frustrated. And within a year or two, I'm not talking to you anymore, because you can travel all the time and I can't. And so where do you fit yourself? How do you set yourself up for a number of years to add value?
I think this is amazing. Bitcoin Put says, if retirement is about happiness, then I'll retire to a strip club. Well, there we go. and you know what? There are lots of interesting people here who have made comments about John Allen says, I met a Zulu man who's 106 years old. He only got sick recently. And there are obviously people who live in rural areas who eat, you know, organic homegrown food and live for a long time. And their purpose might be much more local.
But their stress is very low.
Stress is low. Stress is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Massive killer.
Massive one.
Oh, I suppose that's something to think about too. Gareth, there's a great German word for what you just described in industrial psychology. The word is Dasein. I'm not sure what that is for, though, Congo.
What is it again?
I'm not sure. When we were talking about these countries where they pay for everything, you know, where people are retired. I'm not sure, but that could be what it is. I'm working toward retirement. I'm saving money to own my own business. I'm not saving money for the government to take from me. That's also important.
Taxes,
like retirement, you think, okay, good, now I'm safe. They come after you for your retirement money.
Exactly. And they take it.
And when you die, they take it again.
Again. So the thing about saving up for having a business, a lot of people makes the mistake to say, okay, I'm going to retire at 60, and then I'm going to start my business. But any business takes 2 to 3 to 6 years to get properly up and running.
Right.
And so you need to start 5-10 years before that, setting it up already.
Right.
The other thing that people do is they go outside of their core competence. So if you're a administrator of sorts, and you work 8 to 5 all your life, don't go and buy a takeaway or a coffee shop. It's not going to work, because that's not you.
Yeah.
So you must stick to what you're good at.
Yeah. What kind of small businesses do old people who've retired open up?
Sure.
Because I mean, I've heard restaurants and coffee shops, but what other things?
I've met the lady that's having a factory, opened the factory, making soaps and all these things, and she's doing extremely well.
Good.
Extremely well. Other people take up knitting and sewing, dressmaking, stuff that they liked doing, and now they start doing it formally, and they go big.
Yeah, and this could be your opportunity for the muffin shop you always
exactly. thinking. Yeah,
exactly.
If you love muffins so much.
If you look at what my wife does in St. Catherine, the stuff that you, the prices that you pay for stuff, for food, crazy.
Do you love muffins?
I love them so much, Gareth.
All right, listen, we're out of time. I don't want to. Leanne's going to assault me after the show.
I need to leave just before that, please.
So I want to thank Dr. Johan Kutsia and show them the book. They can have a look at that too.
Where is it?
Screw Retirement. There we go.
There's Afrikaans version as well.
That's excellent.
What there is it in Afrikaans?
Aftrede se gat.
I like that even more. All right, screw retirement. And think about these things because it'll come at you quicker than you think. Uh-huh. Thank you, Leanne. Off to...
Go buy muffins.
No.
Can't wait.
She's so excited. All right. And thank you to you for joining us this morning. We will see you on Wednesday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Be there.